Welcome to the OrthoClips podcast series, where we're going to discuss the latest hot topics and high-impact papers in orthopedic surgery. I'm your host, Saqib Rahman. Let's get this episode started. Welcome to Season 7 of the OrthoClips podcast series, and we're going to kick off this season with an interview I did with the leadership and some key members in Sign Fracture Care International. This is an amazing organization. They're very unique, and they do tremendous work around the world for over 20 years. They are the real deal. They have an intramedullary nail provided free of charge, or I should say nails, that do not require fluoroscopy, so they can be used in resource-strapped environments, and they really have a great network of surgeons. They are able to provide a lot of care to patients in need around the world, both through innovation and their network of surgeons, but also their research, their distribution, and just their persistence. So if you don't know about them, I encourage you to listen to the podcast or just check out their website. Either way, here's my interview. Hi, welcome back to the OrthoClips podcast series. I'm Saqib Rahman, and today we're going to be talking about restoring limbs and livelihoods, implants plus education. We're talking about the SIGN program. So today I'm with some distinguished individuals from SIGN. I'm going to introduce them. First, I have Dr. Soraya Komari. She is the Chief Executive Officer at SIGN Fracture Care and just recently started that position. So we'll talk about that. I'm with Dr. David Shearer, who's in San Francisco, and he's the Vice President of the SIGN Board. And also with Dr. Fassi Shahab, my friend, an assistant professor at the Shahab Orthopedic and General Hospital in Peshawar, Pakistan. He's been doing SIGN surgeries for over 15 years and probably over 1,000 surgeries. So we're going to talk about that also. So Dr. Kormai, appreciate you coming on the podcast. And I'd love to hear you're a spine surgeon. So I'd love to hear your story. How did you get involved with SIGN Fracture Care?
So I first learned about the SIGN nail in Vietnam. I was a medical student and I happened to be traveling there doing work on infectious disease. And in that work, our study was a little bit delayed and I was in an operating room and the surgeon there did a tibia surgery on a person who had a broken lower leg. And when he was putting in the implant and straightening out the leg, he announced to the whole room that this implant that he was putting in, this was made in Washington State. And this was the thing that was gonna help this patient walk again. And I thought, well, that's crazy. I'm actually from Washington State. He said that he let everybody in the room know that's donated by generous people in the United States and around the world for use in patients who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford an implant for surgery. And so that's how I got introduced to SIGN, because I saw it in real life being used. And that patient did really well, walked the next day, and I was hooked. I was convinced then that orthopedics was something I was interested in. So I went through the rest of my training, always keeping in touch with the founder of SIGN,
Dr. Zirkel,
right, who was kind enough to respond to my random email saying, oh, I like saw this in Vietnam. I'm super excited about it. And throughout my training, I always was in touch and looked for ways that I could contribute to SIGN. So as I progressed in my training, I ended up going into spine. And SIGN has recently thought about ways to expand into other areas, including pelvis, including articular fractures, including the spine itself. And so I continued to volunteer, and then this opportunity came about to help lead SIGN. And because I've always believed in SIGN's mission, even from early on as a medical student, and believe that it's amazing what SIGN does to give implants to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get surgery, who would face amputation or delays in the hospital for years. I took this opportunity and I'm thrilled to be at SIGN helping those patients be able to walk and care for their families again.
Yeah, I think trauma affects people worldwide. Clearly, you know, people who are in their prime, people who need to provide for their families, whether by road traffic accident or other trauma, it's a big global health burden, and it's not one that kind of gets all the headlines, but it can be really devastating. You know, Dr. Shahab Fassi, you've been involved with SIGN, and let's talk about your role as a surgeon, because clearly you have many roles in SIGN as an educator, and now you've been in practice for a while. Walk us through
How does the actual mechanics of it work? The operation of it, the operational aspect, maybe I should say, how does someone become a sign surgeon? And then how does this kind of model work where this free implant comes from Washington? And maybe then I'm going to ask a little bit about just the technology. Like, you guys are doing this nail without the need for C-arm. And that's something that maybe a lot of the listeners, especially in the U.S. and European countries who may be listening to this, they haven't seen something like that. So how does it work?
The key concept of sign nail is basically that it's a solid nail which is done without the use of fluoro. You don't need fracture tables to it. My journey with sign started 15 years back. So considering 15 years back when I had never seen a tibia nailed, it was always plates and it was always X-fix. So the first operation that I ever saw was a tibia plating, and I was like, that's what I'm going to do. At the time, there were no retrogrades femoral nails as well. So the unique quality of sign is it's the same implant. It can be used for humerus. It's used for femur, anterograde, retrograde, tibia, retrocalcaneal nail. And the most important aspect is you can use it without the C-arm. It's a solid nail. It's strong. So the patient gets up, walks the next day. And the more early they walk, the better it's for their healing, obviously. And the hospitals are selected by a criteria, so they have to apply to sign, and then the sign board vets their application, and if they are selected, the shipment goes out to them. So the surgeons need to operate on the patients, and then there's a sign database on which they have to input that surgery details, and that's one way of letting the headquarters in Richland know that we have used these. So they use that data as to replenish the implants used. So once you have used a particular number of implants, nails, screws, so you get another shipment. The other aspect of this for the hospital, for the surgeon, is that he can have a database to record how he has been doing his cases. And then in the future, it's also a good source for any further research on different aspects, especially because it's used in low middle income countries. So, and we have a very sparsity of data from that area. So it's a very good tool for us to
the database.
Yeah, the database.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so, I want to add, there's an educational component to it as well. Fassi is one of the people, our senior surgeons who are experienced in sign, as is Dave, who give feedback basically in almost real time to surgeons after they complete their case. So not only are we getting feedback on how the implant is performing, those surgeons actually get an education or just feedback on how their cases are going. If, like, many of them are amazing, if there's things that they might consider differently. And so that's a really valuable part of the database. Yeah.
And it's a very humbling experience as well, reviewing the database, because you see a patient from like East Asia, fracture femur, then the next case would be a patient from Sub-Saharan Africa, and you would see almost the same pattern of fracture treated similarly. So it's a very humbling experience seeing different surgeons treating different patients geographically, population with the same implant, and most of the results are very good. And secondly, as a reviewer, when you review these cases, so you get to know like what you need to tweak, what's better, what's not, and then you get to give feedback to the surgeons that, hey, you did a good job on this. For next time, if you get a case like this, it's probably better if you try something different. So that, not only for the surgeon, it's not only it's the implant, but it's also the education. So
it's that network, right? Yeah. It's the community of surgeons, right?
Yeah, so it's the immediate education for that patient. And then every year we have an annual conference in which science surgeons from different countries come together, 90 plus surgeons.
And that's in Washington.
Yeah, that's in Richland, Washington, September every year. And then they come, they present their cases, and it's a great learning experience.
And that's been going on for how many years now, roughly?
26.
About 26.
26 years, yeah.
Yeah.
How many estimate sign surgeons or centers are there right now?
There are 440 some hospitals, and there's about 30,000 sign surgeries done a year.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, and it's, I assume, growing in terms of the number of surgeons and centers and cases.
Like, total, there's been almost 500,000 patients who have been helped by this model of giving an implant and education.
Okay. Dr. Shahab, yeah.
Yeah, but I just want to add, this is 500,000 patients who have been impacted by sign nail directly, but there's a huge number of patients which the surgeons, because of the network and the education, they have indirectly treated other patients as well, which did not need a sign nail. So, but that education part is also very relevant. So it impacts more than just this number.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, something else I'm sure that, you know, can be studied if it hasn't been reported already. Dr. Shearer, I had some questions just about maybe what have been some of the challenges. You know, it's been, over 2 decades now. What are some lessons learned from some of these challenges? You know, one of the questions I maybe had, and you can talk about that in general, but one question I have is, how does the model affect perhaps the local economy, right? So are there, you know, this is a model, it's serving patients in need and surgeons in extremely resource poor environments. How does that affect the development of, like, implant markets, for example, for sales or something similar to what we see in some of the developed countries? So that's one question I had, but yeah. Other challenges, anything, you know, I'd be curious to hear about that Sign has faced.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll address those two separately. Our first is talking more generally about challenges for Sign. I mean, I think, you know, Sign's vision is to create equality in fracture care. It needs to sustain and grow its programs. And it started really, it's been alluded to, Dr. Zirkel, you know, started Sign 26 years ago. And really, he single-handedly was the one that would go around from hospital to hospital to teach and train. And I think one of the challenges has been to evolve that model into something that's sustainable in the long term. And a big part of that has been leaders like Fasi and others who have kind of grown up with the Sign model, and now they've become the leaders and educators. We now have an advisory committee of surgeon leaders from around the world who take on now that role of providing feedback through the database, conducting educational courses. Fasi, for example, has even done a Sign conference in Pakistan to provide that education locally, that used to only happen in Richland. So I think that's been one of the challenges and something that has been navigated more recently in that way. The other part I would say, another challenge I think that's important to mention is the efforts to meet the evolving needs of surgeons over time. And so at the core of Sign has always been, you know, an effort to innovate. You know, that's sort of been in the ethos of Sign. And so I think trying to gather feedback from surgeons and what's the next problem? You know, not that we've solved long bones entirely, but that there are lots of other problems. I think Soraya alluded to that. And so we're always looking for new ways to evolve the implants, create new implants, instruments that can empower surgeons to better care for their patients. And then probably the last thing I would mention is just the financial aspect of it. And we're a nonprofit organization. These implants are donated for free, and we do that through philanthropy. And so for us to grow, we have to continue to grow our capacity to fundraise, and we also have to find ways to be increasingly efficient in manufacturing our implants and distributing them. So I think those are probably the big challenge that we face. In terms of the impact on local economies, I think it's a hard question. I think it's probably different in different places. I think, though, the vision of Dr. Zirkel from the beginning has always been that Sign is meeting the need of he always talks about the bottom billion, the poorest people who, unfortunately, around the world can't, there are a lot of people who don't have the funds. Government insurance programs don't cover implant costs. So there's a large segment of the world population who are never going to, at least, I won't say never, in the foreseeable future, aren't able to afford the cost of even lower cost implants. And so Sign's really meeting the need of those patients, I think. That's always going to be our kind of target. And I think that we're seeing that there is, at the same time, growth of implant markets locally, manufacturing, and middle income countries like India and Pakistan and China are emerging. And I think the Sign actually has actually helped to create those markets because it's empowered a lot of the surgeons that use Sign. Have their practices have thrived in part because they've had access to Sign implants. That's allowed them to also expand into these other areas, and so there's now markets for other implants. So I think in generally it's probably been a net positive for the growth of orthopedics in general in lower resource settings, and then that's created markets for other implants as well. So exactly. Yeah, great question.
Yeah, that's good to hear. One thing I'll add is we were just talking about this. You know, I'm at a U.S. Trauma center, and we use a lot of spanning external fixation, for example, and we don't have a reprocessing contract, so you know, we see a lot of these bars and clamps that have been used sometimes for a week or two essentially get discarded. And I want to credit Sign for being a partner and allowing us to donate those gently used bars and clamps, which we all know can be used again and again and again. These were never inside a patient either. And they have a program where they're able to accept external fix-it or bars and clamps, for example. And in my case, it's from the patients of Philadelphia coming to, we ship them out to Washington, and they're able to basically package them. And obviously through, you know, 2 decades of a distribution network and a processing facility, able to efficiently get these external fix-it or parts to their surgeons within their network, especially in places of need where these are depleted very quickly. So if anyone's listening and that sparks an idea, reach out to Sign. They do have a program for that if you want to donate external fix-it or parts. Before we wrap up, Dr. Kormai, I want to just talk about the future. What do you anticipate? You just took over as CEO for Sign. What do you have planned? What's your vision for the future?
So Sign is an incredibly unique organization. There's no orthopedic or really no healthcare organization like Sign that manufactures an implant, has this incredibly dedicated and altruistic community of orthopedic surgeons, and then impacts patients in such a profound way. I think the future looks like being able to treat every patient who has a fracture, who needs an implant but can't afford it, through the Sign network, through that combination of education and implants.
Great. I think with that, we'll probably wrap it up. Really glad to see us come together. We're actually here at the OTA annual meeting here in Phoenix, and this was a great opportunity to have this this conversation. Again, I've been talking with Dr. Soraya Kormai from Sign, CEO, also with Dr. Fassi Shahab from Peshawar, Pakistan, and David Shearer, Vice President of the Board at Sign. And we've been talking about restoring limbs and livelihoods, implants plus education, the Sign Fracture Care International. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you
so much.